Amen. That was beautiful. Beautiful harmony, beautiful music. And it's one that exalts the Savior. That's what's most important. I love the music. I love the music behind that, the tones of it, but I love the spirit of it as well. It's good to be here at Ambassador Baptist College, and it's my honor to stand here in this pulpit, and it's just a joy to be with Brother Comfort, Dr. Comfort, and Brother Bill. It's just a joy. Grab your Bibles, please, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts 27. And as you do, I'd like to know, if you're here and on faculty, your staff, would you raise your hand so I can kind of get an idea? Okay, over here and some in the back. Thank you. If you're here as a student, regardless what year you're here and you're studying to be pastoral ministry, would you raise your hand and hold it up so I can get an idea? Okay, thank you very much. Missionary, missions, okay, interspersed all throughout. Ministry uncertain, but I'm just here because God's will. Put your hand in the air. That's okay too. But we're glad to see the variance here of God's servants. I'm preaching to God's servants today. This is a message that can't be preached just in any church, in any camp meeting, in any meeting in general, because we're addressing this thought today, biblical leadership in troublesome times. So if you're here and you're in a habit of note-taking, I would really like you to take down these seven principles that we're going to get from the Apostle Paul as he confronts a stormy, tempestuous time. And by the way, he's directly in the will of God. He's centered in the will of God. There's nothing that he has done and which is going to bring trouble into his life. He's exactly where he needs to be. But the storm comes into his life. And it's going to be that way with you, sir, ma'am, as you step out into ministry. If you're here and you're already in ministry, you know the facts of what we're talking about today. You are a unique body of people. And I want you to read with me here in verse 13 and 14, Acts 27, 13 and 14. We'll pray. And then I want to address you on what you're going to face as you minister as God's leaders in the troubled times that you're headed for. Let's read the Bible, Acts 27, verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Again, we're talking about leading in troubled times. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful that regardless what we are in, Lord, you're there with us. We're thankful for a Bible that's always true, never changing, because it's authored of a God that never changes. We're thankful for your immutability, Lord, that when we kneel in this changing, troubled world, we're speaking to the one who can never change. And God, because of that, we know that your church, Lord, stands on solid, firm rock. And I pray for the men and women that are present here today, that God, you would use this message to help prepare them for the time that you have ahead of them and ministering and leading the people of God. Now, Lord, help us to be a blessing. Please open the hearts and speak now, for thy servant heareth. In your lovely name we do pray these things, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for bowing and praying with us. Look with me now to verse 13, and I want you to take note of the wind that the Bible is referring to here as it being a south wind. Now, as you follow different commentaries, you'll find that the different directions of the wind sometimes have a little bit of an insight on what's going on or what's about to happen. In the book of Job, you'll find that a south wind represents oftentimes peace and tranquility. And there's nobody here but wouldn't say, boy, I like that south wind when it blows, that gentle breeze as it comes up. Everything's okay. I'm comfortable. My marriage is doing well. My relationships are well. The ministry is doing well. It's so nice to be able to just bask in the gentle breeze of a southerly wind. Friend, be very careful, because that wind, though it's needed and though it's very relaxing and comforting at times, you mark it down, that south wind sometimes can change direction very, very quickly. Don't be lulled in the season of ease in ministry. Be thankful for those times and appreciate those times. But you need to mark it down that you're a soldier of the cross and you're called to serve in a time in which the gospel is not as readily received, just as much needed, always needed, and needed probably more today than it ever has been. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be received as easily as it once was, maybe in the churches of America and the mission fields that Americans are going to. So appreciate those times, but don't be lulled by those times, because the gentle breeze can quickly shift and a tremendous storm just come on the heels and out of nowhere. Mark this down in your mind somewhere as your pastor majors and mission majors. Mark it down that when you think everything is calm and okay and things are smooth sailing, you better be aware of something that is boiling underneath of you. Because that's just the nature of ministering in the troubled times that you're going to be called to do. Always be watchful and always be ready for that time to come. As Bible students preparing for the ministry in which God is going to put you in, please note it in your mind to regularly expect difficulties in the road ahead. Now, along with the difficulties, you're going to have the sweet grace of God. And He's going to take you through. He's going to give you the victories on the high times after you come out of the low times. And mark it down, the grace of God will take you through the hard times of life. And then when you're in that low time of life and that low ebb of life and ministry, just mark it down, you hang in there, you cast out an anchor because God is on His way and He's going to refresh your soul and He's going to restore your soul. Now listen, I love Psalm 23 and you do too. I don't know if anybody don't like the shepherd's psalm, but isn't it sweet when he says, He restoreth my soul. Because you're going to get in those dry times. You've been in those dry times as students and it's coming from churches and homes. You know what it's like to be struggling and need a touch from heaven, a touch from God, just a manna from heaven to fall down on your soul. God will be faithful to do that. So as you hear me preach this morning, please don't say, oh, good night. I don't want to go into ministry. That's not it at all. I just want to be a realist. And I want to get you prepared for what the world is expecting from you and what you need to expect from the world. So we're going to look at these principles here today. I want you to note here in the Bible in verse 14, the word euroclodon. Interesting word. The Greek word literally is translated a violent agitation. It's just an agitation that's beyond anything of a norm. It's violent. It's something that will rock your boat. It's something that's going to shake your foundation. It's something that's going to bring you to your knees. And by the way, that's a good place to be as a child of God. It's always good. You say, what about this time of COVID we're going through right now? COVID has done one thing for the church, and that is put her on its knees to ask and inquire of God. So the times of difficulty, don't put your head in the sand as an ostrich and ignore. Don't try to flee away from those, but realize there's great opportunity in the midst of the trial. And that's where God wants you to be here, in a time of violent agitation. You're going to face your euroclodons, and though they are difficult to maneuver through, hear me, it's in the troubled times that leadership must lead. You're going to find that in the times of trouble, when nobody is knowing what to do, and eyes are going this way and that way, and they're looking for an answer, that's when God's leaders must stand up and lead. It's in the troublesome times that people seek for a leader. And then that's when God endorses His leadership. Yes, God's going to put His hand and His mantle will be on you as you go through ministry, and it's a normalcy and it's a regularity and things are going okay, but it's in those troubled times that people are going to see the mantle of God on your life when they see it in nobody else. That's going to be the trying time that the power of God is going to come on you and He's going to endorse your leadership. He's going to say, this is my man, this is the lady that I've put in this place to serve. So don't cower from or in a violent agitation when it comes into your ministry. Just remain calm. Though it's disrupting the calm around you, remain calm and trust God. Someone just said, trust God and carry on. And that's good advice. God did this with Moses at the Red Sea. God did it with Joshua in the swelling of the Jordan River. And God did it with Elijah there on Mount Carmel. It looked like it was impossible odds, but that's when God likes to show up and show out. Mark this in your mind. God often likes to show up in the bottom of the ninth inning. God always likes to show up many times in the 11th hour before midnight. Why is that? So He can mold you and shape you, get us on our knees to where we have exhausted all of ourselves, and God is now ready to use us. And God comes many times in that last hour. Why are men like John Rice, Bob Jones, Henry Morris, why do we consider these men great giants? Friend, it was because they stood up in the times of the early 20th century when evolution was really getting steam, when modernism was coming into the church, and when everything seemed to be falling apart. The new versions of the Bible started to come out around the beginning of the 20th century, and God raised up men like Bob Jones Sr. and Henry Morris to stand against the flood tide of error that came into the church. And I'm telling you, God still calls great workers into the church to prevent the corruption that's trying to come in and permeate the church. What was it? It was hard times. It was difficult times. There were people that wanted to give up and jump ship. But God raised up leaders, and those leaders had followers that followed them through the storm. And I'm looking at leaders here today. What we need is leadership. See, it's in the difficult times that godly leadership is most needed, and that's when it's recognized the most. We see that truth in Acts 27, as the Apostle Paul is in a horrific type of storm right here. And I want to give you seven leadership principles for leading in troubled times. It's never been easy to be God's leader. Mark that down. But you all, this congregation that I'm talking to here this morning, you especially are going to face unique challenges that perhaps no one else in church history has. You folks have the challenge and the privilege of holding the banner high in the troubled Laodicean times in which we live. And let me tell you, the world may seem like it's not listening, but there's a whole host of people out there that are looking for somebody to lead them to Jesus Christ. There's somebody out there that's saying, we need a pastor, we need a missionary, we need a helper, we need a Christian school worker that's going to stand up in the midst of troubled times, feet firmly on the rock, and just lead people to Christ. That's the need of the hour. That's the desperate need of the hour, is good, godly leadership. Listen, great leaders are formed in the forge of great trials, and trouble is often the platform for which leadership arises. So I just wanted to give that to you. And then these quick principles, real quick, jot them down as we go over them, please. Let's read verses 1-3. And this first principle is just simply this. A leader is firstly trusted. Regardless, wherever God puts you in His mission field of this world, you've got to earn the trust of the people before you earn their fellowship. Look with me in verses 1-3. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adrenium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius, notice, courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. A leader, number one, has to be trusted. By the way, the leader that's going to rise up and lead in the storm is the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see that right now, prior to being that man that God uses to raise up on a platform during trouble, he's earning the trust of the people around him. And that is so vitally important as you enter into a ministry here next year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it may be. You begin by earning the trust of the people that God's put you to oversee. Along this journey, Paul had convinced the centurion that he was trustworthy. And by the way, Paul was in a troublesome time, wasn't he? Where was he going? Well, friend, he was on his way to see Caesar in Rome. And he's a prisoner. There's shackles on his legs. Paul was already in a storm before he hits Euroclidon. And through that hard time of life, everybody is watching Paul. What's the old boy going to do? Is he going to buckle? Is he going to cower? Is he going to try to escape? What's he doing? He's earning the trust of the people. And scrutinous eyes are on you, and scrutinous eyes are going to be on you, and rightly so, because you are God's man, you are God's woman. And eyes are going to be watching you. So Julius permits a liberty be given to Paul. And listen, that was not common amongst the Roman prisoners by any means whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the story goes on. The ship gets into trouble, and the order from the centurion is kill them all. Kill them all. That was the hard heart of Rome. But here's a Roman centurion, a man over 100 soldiers. He's experienced, he's war-beaten, he's hard, and he says, you know, I like Paul. There's something about Paul that just has gotten close to me. You know what that is? It's God giving favor with the hearts of men. And God will give you favor with the hearts of the people wherever the ministry is that He's going to call you into. You're going to gain favor with them as long as you're walking with the Lord. Why? They're going to see something different in you. They see a realism in you. Can I say this? Be real and be transparent, because that's what people want and that's what people need to see. Somebody who is just like them, serving and walking with the Lord in victory. But always remember that authority may be given, but trust is always earned. So you might assume a position in a Christian school in a couple years. And by that position, you have authority that's given to you over your students, maybe even over some faculty of that place, depending on what you're called to do. And though you have authority by that position, you have to earn the trust. They've got to watch you, and you've got to handle yourself and conduct yourself as a godly Christian man, a godly Christian woman. And for that trust to be given, you must exemplify that you are worthy of that. You young men that are getting ready to go into a pastorate, let me give you some wise advice that I'm sure many other men have before. You go in there with a cloak of humility. Go in there to learn from the people. You go in there to understand the church and understand. I've been at Gospel Light now for going on 2 years soon, and the whole time has been a learning curve, and it's just been one of humility to learn. You're not the big Joe on campus. You go there and you learn that God may exalt you. Listen, exaltation is always of the hand of the Lord. Remember that. Let God exalt you. Amen. So understand, this Paul, he's listen, in my opinion, he's the greatest man on earth of his time, but yet he humbles himself. He's earning the trust of people. And a consistent testimony is what is going to gain the hearing with people. They're going to see that you're real. They're going to see that you love them. They're going to see that you're transparent. And they're going to say, that is a lady or a man that I can trust. And when you earn the trust and they say the leader is trustworthy, the people then follow you. Because you're following Christ. So leader number one is trustworthy. Principle number two, a leader takes the initiative. Look with me in verse 4. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto the place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, listen, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lady or the cargo of the ship, but also of your lives. Paul takes the initiative to stand up and to speak that which he knows is right. At Fair Havens, Paul spoken out with that sound advice, but I want you to see, young men and women, he did so with grace. He didn't stand up and boisterously command. He said, Sirs, I want you to understand that this is probably not going to be the best route to go. Understand that truth always needs to be spoken, but it needs to be spoken with grace. With grace. Understand that. And Paul, the great man of God, is speaking with grace. He was speaking against the popular opinion, but wrong opinion, and it required courage. Courage. Now, the majority here in this passage of text wanted to proceed in a whole different direction. By the way, it was a wrong one, and it was a dangerous one. But here you have the man of God who loves the Lord, loves the people that's on the ship. Paul is no doubt already witness to the centurion, probably many on board. And he's just not looking at his own welfare. He's saying, here is a ship of people. And as you stand in the holy desk, you look out into a congregation of a ship, if you will, of God's people in which he's giving you charge. That is a very sobering thought. And Paul is saying, the lives of these folks are in my hands. He stands up and he says, we are not going in the right direction. This is not a good idea to do. Folks, that took courage. And though Paul was respectful as he said it, sirs, I perceive that this might not be the best route. Though he was respectful, Paul was also a man of conviction. And it took initiative to stand up and speak up when leadership was needed. Doing what's right takes initiative. And listen, folks, you're going to have to stand up and do what's right. You're probably not going to be compelled or ordered to do what's right. The average attitude of a person is, let's just let it slide. Let's just let it go. Paul, sit down. Don't rock the boat. Let's just let everything go the way that it's going. Paul said, no, sir, because it's going in the wrong direction and it's going to mean danger to these souls. I must stand up. But he did it in the right way. And he took initiative. And remember that. Point number three, let's look to verse 11. And principle number three is this, a good leader uses good judgment. He has to use good judgment. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete.
But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they had used helps undergirding the ship. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail, and so were driven. Verse 18. And we, being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling or the furniture of the ship. There goes the beds, there goes the tables, everything is cast out. Verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I would like to say that in your ministry, in the years that God is going to give you ahead, that you'll never experience verse 20, but every pastor, every teacher, every person that's been in the ministry here would say, you are going to have more of those than what you would like. And it's going to be the God that stood by Paul, that's going to be the God that stands by you, that gives you the direction to lead out of the storm. Look with me in verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, had ye have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss, if you'd just listened to me, we wouldn't be in this situation in which we are now. Now, Paul is bringing that to their attention, but he's not going to hound them on that. He's using good judgment. Paul's just simply saying, listen, if you'd have heeded the word of the Lord, it wasn't Paul's opinion. Paul had been away with the Lord, and he had been praying and getting the mind of God on this thing. And there's no doubt in my mind that as Paul spoke, he was speaking as God had directed him to speak. Mark it down in your mind now. You're going to have parents. You're going to have staff members. You're going to have church members. You're going to have folks on the mission field that are going to choose the secular advice and counsel over the man of God. You love him anyway, and you be patient with him anyway. And you suffer long with those folks because it's in those times that they may not know it, they desperately need the hand of a man of God, of a woman of God, to help them along the way. They said, you should have listened to me. But a leader's counsel, as Paul's, was based upon Scripture. It was based upon God's leading. It was based upon good old common sense, amen. But it was also selfless advice. Paul's not looking out for his own skin. Paul's in the midst of the boat with the rest of the crowd. In other words, he said, we're in this all together. But the advice that he's given is not self-centered. Listen, in times of difficulty, in times of uncertainty, leadership must stand up and lead. The people need somebody with the wisdom and the direction of God to stand up and say, we need to go this way. Now, for that to occur, you and I have had to have had our time in the prayer closet. You and I have had to have our time in the Word of God. We have to be walking in fellowship with God to boldly stand and say, this is the direction we need to go. Would you notice verse 21? Underline it or circle it in your Bible. But after long abstinence, don't read over that too quickly. The men are up here above deck and they're trying to do everything they can, bailing water, tightening things, lowering the sails, trying to figure out how to keep the ship together. Where's Paul at? Paul's absent. Where's he at? Well, just where was Paul? He was in communion with God. There ain't no doubt in my mind he was getting the source of the wisdom and the direction in which he would soon bark out to the crew that would save the lives of the entire ship. Somebody said D.L. Moody one time was going across Atlantic, transatlantic ship, and as they came into very stormy waters, it was so tempestuous that the captain of the steamer said, call Mr. Moody. We must have the man of God on the deck. And as he came on deck, he saw the storm that was there. And he saw the danger that the ship was in. And the captain began to pray to him. And Moody began to pray. And then he goes below deck and he begins to sleep. And the captain of the ship is somewhat puzzled by that. He's probably somewhat upset by that. But he said, Mr. Moody, I asked you to converse with the Lord. And he said, I have, and he has heard me. And sure enough, not long after, the storm parts and ceases. What was that? There was leadership in the midst of chaos that had a direct line to heaven that was heard. That was heard. And when families come to you in your office and churches call you for advice and you deal with things in your ministry, friend, you have got to have a direct line to heaven immediately open. And Paul was absent, but he wasn't absent from the throne of God. He was there giving the direction to the Apostle Paul. Expect those to face you as they face Paul many knowingly and unknowingly refusing the leadership that God has for them. But Paul spoke with good judgment, good counsel, and the wisdom was obtained from the Lord. Hurrying on, look with me to point four. Principle four is a leader speaks with God's authority. God's authority. Look with me in verse 22 and 24 through 24. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. A leader speaks with God's authority. Now listen, in the midst of the chaotic storm, now you got to remember, the storm hadn't broke yet, guys. It's still rolling on. People are scrambling to and fro, throwing everything that's not valuable out of the ship. And Paul stands up in the midst and says, Hey, everybody, be of good cheer. Put a smile on your face. It's going to be okay. Now, do you think everybody turned around and gave him a clap and an ovation? Probably not. Probably people said, you're out of your mind. Boy, you have gotten waterlogged on the brain, and you're not thinking right. Don't you see the situation that we are in? But Paul stands up with boldness. He can say that which is seemingly illogical because he has the authority of God behind him. He's heard the word of God. And regardless what the situation looks like, and regardless what the circumstance is, he stands up with the word of God and boldly speaks with authority. Hey, if you're called to preach the word of the Lord, you're called to teach the word of the Lord, you have the same authority that's given to you. You can stand up in the midst of a crazy world that's chaotic and all kinds of other things going on, and you can stand and speak with authority like Paul did. Hey, be of good cheer because Christ is on his way. And in the meantime, let's do all we can to take all we can with us. You can have the right attitude, and you can press the reset button in the hearts of the people who desperately need to see a leader stand up with confidence in the Word of God and say, He's got it under control. Amen. Now that's the kind of world you're going to be pastoring. That's the kind of world you're going to be teaching in. That's the kind of world you're going to be soul winning in. And you need to have that peace in your heart as you're standing in a troublesome time that everybody else, even churches and good people around you say, well, there ain't no hope. There's always hope when Christ is on the throne. Amen. Always. Never, never let that go past out of your mind. So Paul could speak with a boldness because in verse 24, the word of the Lord had been given to him. Always establish biblical principles for the actions and the decisions that you make as a leader. If you're going to stand, stand with that word of God backing you. And when your direction is based upon those biblical principles, you can stand with authority. You can stand with surety. You can stand with confidence, though you might not and probably won't be able to figure it out and be able to describe it to them. You know that God's word will not fail. It's just not going to fail. I don't know why you guys are in Bible college anyway. Don't you know everybody's saying that you can't build a church today? That's right. You can't, but Christ can. And Christ does. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. I will build my church. That promise is in effect until the rapture of the church. Go out in the power of Christ and do something that makes people say, that's got to be of God because it can't be of man. Christ is with you. You need nothing else. People are important, but only God is necessary. Take God with you. Always remember that you and yourself, you have no authority. I have no authority. But Brother Matt, you're the pastor. You're the co-pastor. I have no authority in myself. The only authority that I have is that which is loaned to me in the Word of God and the call of God on my life. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost that's within me and uses me. That's the only authority that I can stand up with and behind, but there's nothing of myself. And listen, when God's people recognize that that authority that you're placing yourself under is of God, they'll follow you. Amen. The ones that understand will follow you. Principle number five. A leader never compromises the truth. Look with me in verse 31. And the Bible says, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. The centurion says, kill them all. We can't let any of them escape. Paul says, not so. So Paul prevents the crew members from abandoning the ship. And here it was, their safety lie in staying together. Listen to me. Sheep in the time of trouble have the tendency to stray. How many people have left the local church and not come back because of this mess called COVID? And they're still out of the house of the Lord for whatever reason. When the trouble comes, mark it down, there'll be the tendency for the sheep to flee, to scatter, unless their eyes are locked on a leader whose eyes are locked on the Savior. They're going to have somebody that they look to. Do you realize that the majority of the people that we pastor, that we minister to, that we'll be outreaching to, they have a shallow Christianity? Not all, thank God, but many do. And they just don't have that close, intimate relationship with Christ. Many people rely on their pastor for direction and spiritual guidance in the home. And that's okay. That's why we're here. But how much better to get them to the place that they're already walking with the Lord in close fellowship and communion, and they are being led as the pastor is being led. But in the times of trouble, their eyes are going to be tendent to go look toward other pastures that are seemingly greener. See, you folks are leaders. You're here at Ambassador Baptist College to learn leadership training for the ministry. You're going to be leaders of leaders. And listen to me here. Paul is saying, you all stay in the boat. Don't jump ship. Do you know that as a leader of leaders, it's going to be an important task of you to keep all of the people under you rowing in the same direction? That you'll have staff members that get contrary one with another? And one of the greatest things that you'll do as a leader in the ministry is just maintaining the first and second tier leadership in a place where they are rowing together. You stay in the ship. You stay unified. You keep rowing in the same direction. You listen to the command of the man of God. And we're going to sail okay. We'll reach our destination. See, Jesus Christ, we see Him doing this again and again and again with the disciples. He's always refocusing them. When they would begin to compare one another and say, I'm better than you are, and I deserve more than you do, Peter says, I'll never fail you. He always refocuses them on unity, humility and unity. And there's a temptation and a tendency for folks to compromise, to go the easy route when the hard time comes. The hard time is going to reveal the character of what you are. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., character is what you are when nobody else sees. It's what you are when you're before God in the dark. And like Paul, we're going to find out, folks. We're going to need character. We're going to need that character to not compromise, because when the pressure comes, those that are right around you sometimes will be the ones that will pressure you to compromise. Paul didn't let it happen. So a good leader doesn't compromise. Principle number 6, hurrying on. A leader strengthens others. Verse 25. Let's look at verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as I was told me. And he goes on to talk a little bit more here in the verses to follow of just strengthening. As a matter of fact, three times in this passage, Paul is recorded as just encouraging the frightened crew. You'll find it in verse 22, 25, and 34. Paul is encouraging, exhorting them, helping them along the way. And though God's leaders must often shear the sheep, He doesn't skin the sheep. Sam Jones, the old Baptist preacher from yesteryear, said this, you can shear a sheep many times, time over. He said, you can only skin them one time. Now you're the shepherd, and the shepherd is not to be feared. The shepherd of a ministry, the leader of a ministry, is someone that ought to have an open door policy, that people come and they say, Pastor, leader, I have a problem and I need some help. Can you give me some counsel? Sit down. We have time. Let's talk. That's the kind of shepherd that we have, and that's the kind of shepherd, by the way, that God wants us to be. Recall just how many times Jesus Christ handled and trained His disciples when they were fearful, when they were faulting and failing in different areas. He always encouraged them. He encouraged them along the way. Listen. Troubled people in troubled times are looking for a leader to help care for them, to love them. They don't get that out there in the world. So when you come every time behind the holy desk or behind that holy lectern of that place of education and instruction, mark it down. You'll look out into the eyes of the people that have gathered in front of you and mark it down. One thing you'll never come short of is hurting people. You'll always be ministering to hurting, needing people. Be patient with them. Be loving with them. Be long-suffering with them. Comfort them and encourage them, because they aren't going to get it out there. They need to see it in the men of God who understand what it is through the shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. Struggling people need encouragement. Last point here this morning. A leader must lead by example. Verse 35 and 36. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. I think they were all listening to him by now. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And then they were all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. Now, Paul has been preaching. He's been barking orders. And it's important to notice here that Paul remained calm through it all. He was just calm through it all. In the time of trouble, in the time of uncertainty, in the time in which a bomb has just been dropped on you, your ministry, your leadership, or the church, that is not the time to be emotionally led. That is the time to be spiritually led. That is not the time to come apart. That is a time to get apart with the Lord Jesus Christ and to come together with your people and let them see that our pastor, our leader, our teacher, whoever it may be, our missionary, they have spent time with God, and we can sense the presence of Christ, and we can smell the fragrance of Christ upon them, and we can see a difference in them. And friend, you'll be amazed at how that calmness can calm the souls of the sheep in the flock. They need to hear that. They need to see that. They need to witness that. What I'm saying is you've got to lead by example. If you're saying, let's just hang on, Christ is with us, He's going to take us through, they've got to see that in your life. They've got to see that in your spouse's life. They've got to see that in your children's life to earn the respect and the trust to follow that man who's leading by example. I want you to see this was evidence of Paul's faith when he sat down and broke bread. Remember, they're not completely out of it yet. They're still in the midst of trouble yet. But he says, listen, let's stop the fast. And let's break bread. You need strength. God has told me not one single hair upon your head is going to be lost. We're not going to lose one soul. We can trust God. Let's sit down and break bread. That's confidence, folks. That's faith in the midst of a storm. And he just doesn't say sit down and take bread. Paul sits down with him. He says, pass me a biscuit. And they break bread together. And they say, well, listen, if Paul can sit down and take ease, I can imagine they would have done this. They would have followed him. Why? There was a leader who had calmness and confidence, Christ. What is it that our people are looking for today? Calmness and confidence in Christ. We have no need to run about as chickens with heads cut off. Our God is still on the throne. Everything is happening just according to His timeline. Let's just lead with Christ's confidence. Just follow. See, a good leader, doesn't get disoriented in the storm, doesn't lose direction. The good leader knows the source of the power. Paul sits down in the midst of the storm and he gives thanks to the Lord. Wait a minute. In the midst of COVID, in the midst of churches and local churches shut down, not opened up, membership cut in half, are you telling me to give thanks? That's exactly what Paul did. God, thank you for letting us just be reminded one more time of where our power and strength truly lies. Lord, you did it before, you do it again. And let's just pick up where we are now and let God build. That's the attitude of the Apostle Paul. That's the attitude that you have to develop in your lives. Lord, use my life and use me however you see fit, wherever it is. But listen to me. You as Paul must be careful to maintain that power and direction in your life. You'll never lead. I'll never lead in a time of trial and trouble unless we've been absent below deck in a quiet place with our Lord. Make much of prayer. Separate your mornings early in the morning for prayer with God. Don't start the day. You have no idea what you're going to confront. The all-knowing God sees it, and He'll give you the wisdom to confront the things that are in front of you that He sees. Start your day. Keep your mornings for God. Make much of the Word of God. Plant it into your hearts. It's more than a book. It's the very breath of God. It's the very life of God in written form. Make much of it because it's going to be what carries you through the stormy time of ministry. Christ will be there. Don't ever forget the truths that's revealed here. But especially verse 21 through 25, that, friend, is godly leadership in a troublesome time here. Now, godly leaders, we don't push from behind. You'll never find a shepherd shepherding the flock from behind. You cannot corral and push sheep. They'll go everywhere. What does the shepherd do? He gets out in front of the flock and he leads the flock as God leads him. If you look into the book of Exodus and you'll see the Exodus account of Moses and the children of Israel, they're going through wilderness, stormy, troublesome time, 11-day journey. God said, here's how I want you to lead, Moses. Pillar of fire and clouds are going to be in front. The Ark of the Covenant is going to be behind that. Moses, you're going to be behind that. And then the priest and the Levite is going to be behind you. And then the people of God are going to be following. That is a beautiful picture of the New Testament local church organization. Who is in charge of the local church and any minister of the local church? The Holy Spirit of God is the moderator. Who is it that has the guidelines? The Holy Word of God that follows. Who is it that comes next? Leaders. God's man. God's woman. Who comes behind them? The leaders that are following their leadership and direction. First and second tier leadership in the ministry. Who follows that? The people of God. As long as he's following the fiery pillar, following the Word of God, the people of God will take note of that and they'll follow you. And you'll lead them into the right direction. Leadership in troublesome, stormy times, you're headed there, but you're headed there not alone. He's with you. Principles of leadership in stormy times. Friend, as long as that order is maintained, you have nothing to doubt, you have nothing to fear. Let me say this, that we are privileged to serve as God's leaders in troubled days. We're privileged. And God's people in this lost world is looking for somebody to lead them into truth, somebody to lead them unto Jesus, to the victory that they're searching for in their life. Let's lead them.